The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
If I had to give a scorecard, I'd probably go 3-2 champion, though. Very close score.
It's open to interpretation, right?
Yep.
Well, like I said, the Olympic gold medal doesn't count for shit in the octagon. He stopped a lot of my takedowns, but persistence is going to keep on shining, and that's what we did.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. What a great way to start. There are many advantages to working with Matt Serra, but it's always a greater advantage when Aljamain retains the title because we get him as a guest. So let's bring Aljo in. He's in the waiting room. Very happy that he's coming on today after a really, what a great weekend for you guys. I texted you over the weekend, Matt Frivola, really, really making a statement with Drew Dober, and Aljamain just fighting so well to beat a Henry Cejudo, who looked really good. Henry looked pretty good considering a 3-year layoff. So let's bring Aljo in as soon as he's ready to come.
Bring Aljo in, and then we'll discuss everything. It was so exciting. The champion.
There he is.
The champion of the world. The champion of the world, people. I wish I had an applause button.
Jimmy, Aljo, how you doing, buddy?
You don't even clap for the guy.
I mean, good.
I clapped when he won. Aljo, one thing I want to ask you, how good does it feel? Like, do you recognize this is your time? Like, you're for so many years you fought to get to this place, and do you really feel like this is your time to kind of be at the top? I know that they're talking about possibly fighting in Boston for another pay-per-view main event.
Do I feel like it's my time? I mean,
meaning to kind of get recognized for all the work you've put in.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a hard question. I feel like if people can't respect what I've done, is like, what are we even talking about? It's like, well, what do you actually respect that? Like, I don't think there's anything else to really accomplish. Like, how many other great names, former champions, do I have to be to actually be considered good?
But you know how fans are sometimes. Look at a guy like Bilal Muhammad, who has been so good for so long. And it's like, you just go out there and do your job. And sometimes it's the guy that's talking shit that's putting on a tremendous sideshow that gets the attention, as opposed to a guy who's just going in and fighting really, really well. And you've beaten so many great fighters in so many different ways. I'm just saying, I hope you recognize how much everybody is appreciating what you're doing.
I appreciate it. I mean, I think the people who actually pay attention to the sport actually know what's up, and they give my credit where it's due. I'm almost at a point where I kind of just want to go full hill and just say F everybody, you know, and I'll be completely okay with that, because it's not like it bothers me one way or the other. It's like, guys, like, I'm not begging for fans here. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, you either like my style or you don't. I'm not going to change it for nobody. And I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. It's helped me get here. And the name of the game is prize fighting. We're here to fight for money. I'm not here to fight your style of fight because that's what you think. I don't even know. It's like, well, why should I fight that way? You know, if it's not the way that's going to help me win,
right?
Then why should I go to something that makes it easier for my opponent to beat me? And that's the concept I just can't really wrap my head around. Other than that, man, I'm having good wrapping people up and taking them down. And, you know, I think I'm starting to feel like a gold medalist now. I think it's kind of rubbed off on me after May 6th.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you're not just doing that, though. You're doing a way more than that. You know, you're using your footwork. You're outstriking people. You're not getting hit. That's a whole art in itself. Do you think Mayweather's known for getting hit? It's a different sport. But, I mean, you know what I mean? So I'm telling you, and listen, I always try. There's some things you can't unsee. So I try not to look at things if it's going to annoy me. I really like Ali. I always got along with Ali. We're both Henzo Gracie black belts. But I shouldn't have watched that backstage interaction. I shut it off after I heard, like, the people around Henry, the one coach, I forgot his name.
Which one? Santino?
Not Coach Eric, the other coach. He's an Asian gentleman.
Eddie Cha.
Yes. Okay. He's saying he was telling Henry how he won. Now, look, I understand if it's you. I can't. I'm being honest. And I'm an honest guy. If I'm nervous going to the judges, I'll tell you I'm nervous, or I'll be with Longo. Like, what do you think they're going to say? I was so confident. This is what I thought. I thought we lost the third round because of possibly the takedown. I'm thinking how the judges think. Now, you did great in that round, but I'm thinking we might have lost that third round. I did, but I thought it was 4-1. That's how confident I was. Yeah. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I'm being honest. I thought that. So when I heard split decision, I couldn't fucking believe it. I'm like, what am I talking about? Nobody had better seats than me. I mean, what are we talking about? So I'm like,
yeah,
you know, there's got to be, and I've lost fights the way Henry lost this fight with BJ Penn, Dean Thomas. When you have aggression, it's got to be, you know, you have forward aggression. It's got to be effective aggression. Can't just go forward, eat shots, fail takedowns, not hit things, and get awarded a round. And how are you not engaging? How are you just running away? Ali said he was just running. How is he just running when you're outstriking him? How are you just running if you get more takedowns than him?
Did you outstrike him in every round? I think you outstruck him in every round.
Every single round. So even the fifth round, which is the only round I felt like you could make an argument because of how long he had control, but I felt like I landed the better shots. But, I mean, it was a close fight. I even said it after the fight was over. I was like, dude, the fight was close, but I felt like I definitely won every round. I said to the guys, like, I felt like I won that, but I just, for some reason, I felt something was going to be wrong with the judging. And thank God, the one round that I probably should have lost, the one judge gave it to me, and that would have changed the entire result right now.
That's right. And I was surprised too. I thought you should have won a unanimous decision. Again, I think Henry looked good considering it was a 3-year layoff, but I don't know if you guys saw, I was watching the corner work, and I think it was after the second or the third, they were like, yeah, it looks like you're up. They think you're up 2-1. To Henry. And I was watching, I'm like, I don't see Henry being up 2-1. What the fuck are they telling him that for? Unless I misheard it, I'm like, why are you telling your guy this? It didn't seem accurate. And then in the fourth round, they said it's either 2-2 or 3-1. And I don't know if they meant in Henry's favor, but I was like, if they meant 3-1 in Henry's favor, I didn't think they were doing him a good service, unless I misunderstood that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think I did the universe a favor, and I ended the cringe.
What did you expect, Aljo? Was he what you expected? Did he hit harder? Was he not as strong? I mean, you think you took him down 4 times, which wasn't only one time in his career before then. I mean, you, tremendous job by you. What was shocked you in that fight, if anything?
What shocked me in that fight, I would say, is just his fight IQ. I mean, that was the best part of everything in terms of the challenge that he brought to the octagon. Like, literally, my biggest asset, I think, sometimes, outside of like physical gifts, I think I do a good job of making adjustments in the middle of the fight. And he did the same thing, but he was adjusting to my adjustments. And I think that's what made it a little bit more challenging. Like, the guys were telling me really good stuff in the corner. I'm like, I feel that. I'm going to try that. But then as soon as I would go out and try those things, I can feel him waiting and sitting on it. And almost like he knew what the coaches were telling me. It was almost like he was like, I dare you to try that shit and see what's going to happen. And I kind of had to play like a little bit of a guessing game. And it was a high level chess match, man. Like, Henry came prepared, and he's accomplished what he's accomplished for a reason. So hats off to him for that. But I'm just glad the right guy got the decision and won the fight. And, you know, that's the greatest combat sports athlete of all time. This is what people were saying, right? And I just beat that guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Longo. And Ray, we were just talking before you came in too, but I'm sure everybody felt that Aljamain deserved a unanimous decision. Were you surprised about that? And we've been talking about the judging a lot and how unpredictable, and not in a good way unpredictable, but in a way like they don't seem to be doing what they should be doing. How did you feel about that?
Oh, I was in a total state of shock. When I heard split decision, first thing that ran through my head was, please don't fuck this kid. That's the first, please do not do this, man. I thought that was 4-1. We never felt he was in any danger. He was losing the fight, or, you know, you've heard us go code red in the corner before. I didn't even think it was, like, again, they were close rounds, but Aljo won, period. That's it. Like, I'll give him that. It was competitive. He did a good job. You know, I think he wanted to not quit, but he was getting, you know, discouraged. But his mentality of being the Olympian kept him in there. I give him a lot of credit for that. He pulled down deep in the fifth. He tried to do it. But, you know, like, again, he said he was going to get him out in three rounds. Not even close. He said if they stood up together, he was going to knock him out. Not even close. So I didn't look at it like it's one of those things where, yeah, the rounds are close, but it's obvious who won the rounds. That's the way I looked at it.
Jimmy, can I say something about mentality and something that made me very, very happy, Aljo, is the first round is – you could have let that round go, but you went back and won that fucking round, and you won it in style. When you got back to your feet, you weren't afraid about getting taken down again. You fucking went after him, and then it ended with you taking him down. It was fucking money. It set the tone of saying, oh, no, I'm not going down. This ain't going to be easy. You set the tone for the night with that one moment. It made me so – that's what I knew. I'm like, yeah, you're not going to accept it because he had you down, and, dude – it got the takedown fairly easy, so he had you down. Just it's almost like starting the fight in a fucking tight lockdown and getting an Olympian on you. You got to your feet, you started touching him, and you put him down, and you won back that first round, which 100%. Is 100%. Right, Longo? We got hyped up.
Oh, well, I had him winning. I have to go back and look. I really technically had you winning the first four. I would have been conservative and said maybe he got one, but. That's it. If that guy never thought his – go back and listen to his corner. They didn't think he was winning that fight. You know, he's surrounded by yes men, Jimmy. And he didn't say he won the fight. He said, my coaches said I won 2, 4, and 5 or whatever it was. You know, he didn't say it.
Right. Weren't they – because I was just mentioning this before you came in. Weren't they telling him he was up 2-1? And at one point they said it's either 2-2 or 3-1. Were they saying – I thought they were saying that Henry was up.
Oh, I took it the other way, but I'd have to.
Oh, you thought they were saying Aljo was up?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I misheard that then. Okay, so maybe they weren't.
I'm just going by the heat of the moment and what people have told me. But
okay, I may have misheard that. That's why I wasn't sure.
I definitely didn't do my due diligence on that. I just don't think they could have thought he was winning that fight. I don't give a shit. I think somebody said it. I think Dominic Cruz might have said, you don't know your athlete. He might be a guy that needs to hear he's up. Even when he's not up. And I won't disagree with that because you have to know what you're dealing with in there. And I think that's his mentality. Nobody's challenging Henry in that corner. You know, nobody's challenging him. They just agree with him. You could see they all wear the velour suits or whatever. He's just, you know, controlling everything. And the thing that said that I knew Aljo was going to win that fight is when somebody showed me a clip of him and Khabib. And he's showing him the leg kick, and Khabib's looking at him like he's insane. Like, what is that going to do? And then he doesn't even answer the question. He goes on to something else. Like he's just looking for acceptance. I mean, Khabib is treating this guy like Joshua Fabia. That's what he's treating him like. Like, who is this guy? Do you think he treated him, Aljo, like a gold medal winner? He's like, no. What the fuck are you talking about? I knew at that point, we got it, man. I know this guy now. He does not like to get – he likes what he wants. He gets what he wants. But when he doesn't, it's a big difference. But and a great athlete. I told him after the fight, I'm a fan. I even like his cringy shit. I think he's fucking funny. I like it all. And then he goes to me, even the Brokeback Longo stuff. And I'm like, I never heard that. But I heard he did say that. No, Jimmy, I heard he said it. I thought the guy, somebody tweeted that at me, and I thought they were joking. I was at the press conference. I didn't hear it.
And yeah,
I go, even that, man. That's funny. If it's funny, it's funny. I don't know.
Can't take that shit seriously.
Definitely not.
But 100%. Just to show we're not too biased and not crazy, because I was like, man, what? I saw a thing of Israel Adesanya, the champ, with Craig, and with he was with Craig Jones and some other people, and they were watching the fights. And he was saying, look, they're watching the decision. And he's going, look, they're going to screw him. And basically, like, they knew Aljo won.
Yeah, 100%.
And when they did the right thing, he goes, because when he's watching the split decision, he's like, look what they're going to do. Look, so he's already getting nervous, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, when it worked out, he's like, okay, good. But man, I thought it was I was shocked when I heard split also. Shocked.
Well, this goes beyond you can't leave it in the judge's hands. Like that you know, when there's a really close, but I thought you were clearly ahead. And I was stunned to hear that anybody saw it the opposite way. Your distance management was so great. Did you guys really work hard on that in camp? Was that something that you concentrated on, was using that reach advantage? Because it just seemed like he had such a hard time closing the distance.
Yeah, I would say so. That was one of the main things. Just, I have a 7-inch reach advantage on him, not including the height, not including the kicks. Like, once I hit him with the kick, he has to cover so much distance just to hit me, you know? Like, his main offense was going to be trying to throw leg kicks or head kicks. And I think he gave me a haircut, and I gave him, like, 2 or 3. But that was really it in the sense of, like, what he was able to do. Other than that, I didn't really feel like a threat of anything outside of like the wrestling when he took me down. I was like, just don't give up too much control time.
Nice.
Right. Yeah.
And Jimmy, I really felt like the layoff too. I mean, I thought he was going to be quicker. So I don't know if it's, you know, he's getting old, whatever, but I thought he looked slow. I think I told you that in between the rounds. He's pushing his punches. Like, he can't reach it. He's swinging, but nothing of any significance. So I know he prepared well for the fight. He's not stupid, but I thought Aljo, at one point, Aljo, I thought you were just trying new shit in there. Like, it looked like, I go, what the fuck is he doing? He looked like you were just playing, like it was like a sparring session, you know? So, all good stuff.
When he first took you down, Aljo, did you feel like, oh, okay, this is not as bad as I thought it would be? Or when you first felt what he felt like to be on top of you, did you go, yeah, I get it. Like, he's a problem.
No, well, you know, I was like, oh shit, this guy is exactly what I thought he would be in terms of his strength when he got his hands locked. Because the shorter your arms are, you get that body lock, it's going to be hard to like bust through it versus a lankier guy. You could kind of create some space. But once he clamped down, man, he had me pinned. And I was like, good thing this really isn't a wrestle match, because I would have got pinned.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know. So once we got to that position, I was like, okay, let's see what he does from here. And I start to elevate with the butterfly hooks. I wanted to see where his jiu-jitsu game was, if he wanted to play on top. He tried to throw some punches, but I tied everything up. I was going to look for triangle chokes, controlling the wrists. And I think once he felt my legs working and my hands coming into play, he was kind of like, all right, let's just get the hell out of here. And I came up to that single leg and I was like, all right, we're back on the feet. Now it's my turn to get the takedown. And once I bullied him to the cage and took him down and got my body locked, then I think he started to feel the man strength. It was like, oh, this is what they were talking about.
And after the fight, it was so interesting to see you and O'Malley. How did that feel to do that in the cage after the fight? Did that annoy you that he came in, or were you just happy, like, okay, it's time to set up the next one?
I mean, I was happy to set up the next fight. I thought I was just going to do a call out. I guess they're taking this WWE thing to the next level. I don't, like, I guess that's what we're doing now. I don't know. I mean, it didn't bother me one way or the other. I think it kind of messed up my flow of things of what I wanted to say a bit. But at the end of the day, that moment is to sell the next fight. And I think we did a good job of doing that, because that is the next fight that's going to happen.
Yeah. And that's a really an exciting fight. And look, O'Malley has looked really good, but I don't think he's fought anybody like you. I'm sure you feel pretty comfortable with the fact that you would be able at one point to get onto his back.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm climbing that tree like a... I'm gonna climb his back like a tree. It's relatively it's not a secret, you know what I mean? So I gotta make sure I'm smart, because he's got good lateral footwork the same way I do. I gotta make sure I take my time, keep my eyes where he's throwing those feints and things like that, and not just run into something, because he's long, he's lanky. But once he throws something, he overcommits. It gives me an opportunity to close that distance. The same way I did Corey Sanhagen, I'm going to treat him the same exact way. I'm going to toss his ass down to the ground. I'm going to have my way with him. Like, you know, I don't want to get a
yeah.
To I'm going to have my way with that guy.
That's where those long limbs, man. That's where it's a problem for him to try to create that space.
Yeah,
get a hold of him. He's a sharpshooter standing up, but he's got to know, man. He misses one shot and you're on him. It's, you know what I mean? That could make you just that hesitant to fucking pull that trigger. You know. Yeah. Better hope you don't misfire, bitch.
Yeah, and I even think with that, it allows me to kind of open up more with my striking because I know I'm gonna have to use a lot of feints, get him to throw, and once I can get him to commit to something, and then I could push my strikes in his face and get him to clam up or make one wrong turn where he's frozen still in position, where I can grab a quick single, tie him up, climb his back, lock my hands. I think it's gonna be kind of like a Khabib versus Edson Barbosa. Barbosa on his back foot, blasting kicks, boxing, jabbing, trying to pivot and get out the way. But Khabib was just checking, blocking it, putting his hands up like, I don't care, and just keeps walking him down. And eventually, once he closes that gap, it's going to be a long night for him. Well, I think it's actually a quick night.
Sorry, but we only have you for a couple more minutes. B, I wanted to ask, did you see what happened with Marabin and Sean's jacket at the end of that? Was there any weird thing between those guys before that, or did that just develop in that moment?
No, Sean just gave Marab his coat, and I think he just forgot he gave him his coat.
You know, hey Jim, you know what it reminded me of? Because I think, where is he from, Montana?
Yeah,
I think somewhere like that. It reminded me, Jimmy, like back in the 70s and 80s, like he's in Times Square and he goes to change his tire and he goes to the guy, hey dude, can you hold my jacket? You know, and he gives it to some random guy and the guy just leaves with it. And like half hour later he comes back and tries to sell it back to him. Hey, you want a jacket? You know, like he hands Marab the jacket. What do you think's gonna happen? You know
of
what
course.
I mean? So I don't know. These guys crack me up, man. I think it's fucking funny.
Aljamain, they told us we only have you until a quarter after. So I got a note from the producer saying you have other stuff, I guess. But yeah. I appreciate you coming on. And great job, man. I was really happy for you. I was happy they didn't screw you out of that win. You look great. And, you know, you're being talked about in the conversation of greatest bantamweight of all time. I mean, that has to feel good.
Oh, it's amazing, man. It's a blessing. Like, I never thought I'd be in this position. You know, I didn't think life would do this. Like, I always expected that, yeah, I can win the belt. But that's like the goal for everybody. Everybody has that expectation or that dream. And I didn't think this is what life would have looked like or become. So super blessed and happy about everything. And it's crazy to just be a part of that conversation. So I'm happy about it. I want to try to get one more. I think if I could set that and get four, I think it's going to be a very hard record to beat. And that's what legacy is all about, you know, leaving a legacy, building something for the future and making my mark in this sport for good.
And my final question would be, as the champion, does it change your mentality anymore where you are now the guy that they're gunning for? You're the guy everybody is training for. Does that feel any different?
Yeah, definitely. Because now I'm kind of watching like over my back a lot more because you're not really sure what the intentions are with people you're training with. That's why I keep my groups relatively small now. It's like I don't really like bringing in too many other people. And if I do, it's got to be someone that I actually trust or I have the conversation with them beforehand to kind of get a feel of what it would be like if we did get some work in. Because sometimes you got to get uncomfortable and bring some other people in to kind of give you different looks and things like that. Otherwise, you're going to get comfortable thinking that you're the best doing what you're doing, but you're just used to the people that you're with. So it is what it is. This is just the way the game goes. Like whoever's at the top heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yep.
So a lot of people are going to be gunning for what I have. And unfortunately for them, you know, when I'm done, they're going to have to deal with Marab. So good luck.
Yeah, that doesn't get any easier.
Yeah.
Congratulations, buddy. It was a great fight and I was really happy for you. And thanks for coming on for a little bit today.
Thank you guys. Matt, right. See you guys tomorrow.
Thanks. Aljo.
Fuck yeah, man. Hey, man, Eddie soon or Passio. Yes. Either yes, one. Sir. Fuck yeah. Right. Go ahead. Go celebrate.
See you, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And I also want, I didn't want to ask you without, just we had him for such a limited time, but it now Henry is calling out Merab, and Ray, I've been saying this for a while. I think Merab is in such a good spot because so many guys didn't want to fight him, and now there's no choice but to have to deal with Merab. So I think he has his choice of some really, really good fights, some really good payday fights that with yes. You know, with good opponents that avoided him before. So he's almost in a great place right now.
Oh, I think so. And I think Cejudo tweeted that Cejudo pulled him out this morning. So I think that's a really bad fight for Cejudo, but I'd love to see that fight too. Merab and Cejudo, I think, you know, even and Sanhagen's, you know, definitely more deserving, but I think as far as numbers going, people watching, they probably want to see the Cejudo fight only because there's, you know, some drama with the team and stuff like that. So it might make for a better fight, you know, fan-wise. Sure. I don't know.
Five rounds.
Oh, yeah, five rounds.
Has to be.
Yeah, that's I give credit again. I give Henry credit after losing Aljo just the, you know, to immediately call out a guy like Merab, who is just, again, he's just been a nightmare for everybody. I mean, it's 50-45 over Piotr Jan. So, I mean, he's just looked tremendous. And are we looking now at, have they announced this fight with O'Malley as official, or are they just speculating that it's going to be in Boston, and I don't remember what month?
I think until anything's, you know, finalized, Jim, it's all speculation. But I think that's what they want, for sure.
Now, we should also talk about how great Matt Frivola. What a great win for him over Drew Dober. You don't see Drew Dober get stopped like that. So that's an incredible night for you guys.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm so proud of that guy. He's fucking he's another wacky dude, but man, did he deliver? He's got great momentum now. I mean, three first round knockouts in his last three fights is crazy. Literally crazy against Drew Dober, who we said had a granite chin. We didn't really expect that. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want him to get into a firefight. We wanted to mix in the takedowns. But, you know, he kind of really fought the exact way he spars. And we brought in really, really good lefties. He had great looks for this fight. Dennis Bazooka, who's an orthodox guy, Jimmy, switched southpaw. And I can't believe how good that kid did. Like, he held southpaw for how many rounds they were sparring. Nazim Sadikov, another kid in the UFC who's a killer. So he had great, great looks in there. And that's, I think that's the difference in the fight.
And I love that he called out Patty. I think sometimes guys miss an opportunity. Again, it doesn't have to be over the top crazy, but just to say who you want to fight next. I think sometimes that really does. It helps with the business end of it. It helps if it gets a fan reaction. That sometimes, you know, like wag the dog, that sometimes gets the company looking. Because there's so many great fighters. It's hard to say who's going to fight this guy next. There's eight guys who are very close to each other in skill. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of parity in MMA these days.
Yo, hey, Lassie, Benji, hold the dog talk for a second. I got ADD. I want to get a fucking okay. I got a doctor word in.
Yeah, should have said sounder.
I believe that Patty Pimblett answered.
Yes, he did.
Did you know that?
Yep.
What'd he say?
He said, he would love to do that. Let him heal up his injury first. And I think we mentioned before, I mean, that sucks for Jared Gordon, who I know was hoping for the rematch. But Patty has indicated that he will accept that fight.
Did we mention that on air?
No, it was off air.
Oh, fuck. Well, now I feel like I'm less crazy.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not crazy.
Guys, I taught the 7 a.m. class, and then I took a little nap, and then I taught the noon class, and now I'm here. So it all blends into one.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So we're saying he did answer Matt Favola, and he's saying he's up to fighting him.
Yeah, I think he wants to heal up first. But that's a great fight too. That's good for Matt. I love when guys do that though. I think it's so helpful when, and again, it doesn't have to be like, again, you don't want to go to the area of WWE. You don't want to necessarily over the top it, but I think a guy saying who he wants to fight, who did they ask that wouldn't answer? They asked somebody, and maybe you guys weren't paying attention. That's, I probably should have known that, but they asked somebody and he's like, oh, whoever they put in front of me. And I don't remember who it was. Maybe it'll come to me. How about Bilal Muhammad? How great did he look? I know Gilbert had a bad shoulder. And I love how Dana talked about Gilbert too, saying, look, this kid fought, you know, he fought five rounds with a busted shoulder. So he doesn't lose any credibility at all. He still put up a really good fight with fighting with one arm pretty much.
I like the body kicks by Bilal Muhammad.
Oh,
the body kicks were very well taught.
Terrible. Yes.
Yeah. I thought he was patient. I don't know. I think he did great, man. I seen him afterwards. He looked pretty much untouched. It's unfortunate that Gilbert hurt his shoulder in that opening round, that opening takedown attempt. And I believe, I didn't see it, but somebody, I believe that he told his coach, Henry Hoof, that, stop it, Longo. That's great. It's almost like Tourette's when I say hoof. But I believe that he told his coach, Henry, that he just can't use his left arm anymore. So that's a fucking problem, dude. I mean, I know he has other weapons, but, you know, you're fighting Bilal Muhammad with one less limb.
Did you guys see this this kid who I know he's got a decent amount of fights, but it was his first fight in the UFC. He stepped up on very short notice to fight Ivloev. This Diego Lopez, did you guys see that kid's fight?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I saw he had him in trouble a lot of times. And I know we had a kid from the gym, Dennis Bazooka, put his name in for that fight. And I think Eloev turned him down and he took this guy instead. But yeah, the kid had some crazy submissions, man. He had him in all sorts of trouble. But the other guy did survive. I think that's where you're going with that. Because I didn't see the whole thing, but the kid looks like he put up a great fight.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, just how, I mean, like the arm bar, I guess it was just positioned, you guys would know by looking at a little bit off, or he was going, I think, for some type of leg lock or heel hook. It was just a little bit off. And, Mozar is he was 16-0 at the time of that fight. So this kid comes in and fights an undefeated, I think, number 10 guy. And, I mean, he gives him an extremely tough fight. So I'm looking forward to seeing that Diego Lopez fight with a full camp.
He was in our locker room, and he's a nice
kid. Who was, Matt? Diego or Mozart?
Diego Lopez. Oh, okay. Yeah. He was the kid in our locker room, Longo, warming up.
And, 100%. Yeah, yes,
so, you know, he looked – I thought he looked fucking great. I think – I mean, less than 2 weeks' notice.
It was a few days, right?
He was very threatening. He was very threatening with his submissions. And, I'll tell you right now, if somebody with less of defense, they would have been taken out. So, again, with a full camp, I want to see him back. You know, that was fun.
And, Matt, we had Charles Jourdain on our last episode on Wednesday. Any unanimous decision against Crone Gracie. And it really was. And Dana, again, he likes Crone, and he didn't want to say anything. He said it was a rough game plan. What do you guys think, though, of a guy as skilled as Crone is in one area, but how much better mixed martial arts has gotten, where no matter how good you are in one area, you have to be almost equally good in all areas, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, I mean, look.
You say something first, then I'm going to tell a story.
Look, you have to evolve, Jimmy. And what you saw there was just no evolution. Like, what I saw was, hey, it was done like this 100 years ago, and I'm still going to do it like this. You know, it's almost like the old school karate, throwing reverse punches and never adapting like a boxing stance. So he's great in jujitsu. He comes from great lineage, but man, you got to adapt, man. It's not 1991 at this point, you know. It almost reminds me of Scarola when I was trying to get you to box, and Scarola, don't do it, Matt. Like, you know, he just wanted to keep it to the old school jujitsu. That's, you know, so I think that's what I was feeling. Just, you got to evolve. Seems like a great kid, but if you went in there with that mentality in 2023, I think that's what it looks like.
Yeah, now, I think so.
This is what I want to tell a story regarding this whole situation. I'm just going to get to Longo knows where I'm going with this. Well, maybe he doesn't. He's out of his fucking mind, Longo. Now listen, Longo, remember, Longo, hey, both of you know me by now, and you know I have stomach and belly issues.
Yes.
That's well documented.
Yes.
Right. A million people know that.
It's well documented by you.
It's called ulcerative colitis. And I don't wish it on my worst enemy. It's horrible, you know. So anyway, so listen, can I tell a little story? So now Jimmy, when I know I'm very comfortable with the UFC staff, right? And I tell them, look, unlike Longo, is an animal shit in front of anybody. So we should tell a story about that too after if you feel comfortable. But right now, so I knew where there's bathroom, there's toilets right near us backstage. But you know, you got Jan there with Uriah Faber and there. I don't want to know. I God forbid they hear anything.
Of course.
I go to the staff, I go to the security guy, I go, do me a favor, can I have a toilet with a little more privacy? You know? So they go, sure, Mr. Sarah, Jimmy, I don't want to brag, but I am a Hall of Famer.
Of course you are.
So listen, either way, the gentlemen, they take me to a place. They go, look, this one's a little better. It was another locker room, and it was where the showers were, and then it was some three fucking stalls. So I'm in there taking care of my business, and I'm almost done, thank God. So then all of a sudden I hear people talking, and they just set a fort right where the showers are, and they're talking, and it's Crone and his whole fucking team. I'm like, oh no. They don't know I'm in here. So I'm like, oh shit. So I'm like trying. I'm like, I'm trying to like stop. I don't know if I should flush. So I'm like, let me get the fuck out. Got to get out of here. Yeah. Crone's a little. He's upset. He's talking about the fight. I go, no, I don't want to hear this. Let me get out of here. So I end up flushing. And walking out now, I wanted to just get the fuck out of there, but now they're right with us. I have to wash my hands.
You have to.
They're going to see me, and maybe they see the back of me because the door was between us. I was to the stalls, all the way to the right was like the showers. They were over there, and between was the doors. I'd have to go right. They're right across from where the fucking sinks were. I'm like, oh, man. So I go over. And everybody's around them, and nobody knows what to say after a loss. That's true, especially a kid with his heritage and this and that. So I'm washing my hands, and then he looks up, and I met him before. He's a nice kid. I seen him at the weigh-ins, too. I know him. I look up to his father, Hickson Gracie. He's a guy I looked up to, man, you know? Still do. I'm a legend in jiu-jitsu and fighting. So when I seen him, he goes, what's up, Sarah? So I'm like, I'm fucked. I don't know what to say. You don't even know what to say. So I just told him, Jimmy, I'm like, hey, I go, hey, man, I go, look, you're going to have this feeling until you kick someone else's ass. That's how that goes. You're going to feel this until you just get take it out on someone else. Keep your head up, that type of thing. And I got out of there, you know. Yeah. But me and my ass get me in trouble everywhere I go, literally.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, I know another guy that's saying hello to people too in physicals. Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Just a stall. Longo, you want to dive in on this? The next thing you know, he's power clinching. Longo, where did
first
you go to the
Jimmy, bathroom? Jimmy.
Yes.
Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the guy went to the bathroom no less than 10 to 12, took his shit 10 to 12 times.
Yep.
So look, we're at the press conference. I go to take a leak. I see the shoes. Everybody's got the same shoes on. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You're in here again? I go see a fucking doctor. I'm like, I'm harassing the guy in the stall. I leave. I go back out to the press conference, back sitting there. The guy never said a word. I went on like a rant. You got to see the doctor. What the fuck's wrong with you? Dude, I went outside. I go, I see him sitting. I go, holy shit. I
was felt dying.
So bad.
Some other guy is being berated for shitting
this. No,
I was like, you fucking animal. You guys the in other, there? No, the poor other, guy's probably afraid. He's Jimmy, probably looking. He's looking through the crack of the thing. It's a big fucking extra from Sopranos being like, you fucking dirty animal. Probably afraid for his life.
Dude, I did everything but start banging on the store. I go, I can't believe he's not saying nothing.
That's funny.
That's fucking great.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
By the way, I was enjoying watching your corner work with Aljo. It was just, it seemed much different. And again, whatever works for Henry has been very successful. So I'm not criticizing those guys, but watching the way you guys talk to Aljo, it just seemed like such a different relationship to me. And again, that might just be because Aljo's a different fighter than Henry, but you said at one point, hey, I don't want you being lazy with this. And it just seemed like you were talking to somebody in a training session almost. And it, like, there was a very comfortable feel about the way you guys communicated.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I thought that's why, you know, I thought he was winning. I thought we were in a comfortable spot. That's why it would have been Jimmy. I would have been devastated. He doesn't get that win, because then it would have been like, wait, we didn't even sound the alarms. And you've heard, you know, Matt in the corner before, if we're behind, we're letting the guy know it. Like I had, there was not 1 ounce of anything in me that led me to believe he was behind in that fight. So,
right.
Thank God he got the win. But yeah, no, I thought it was a calm thing. It was almost like sparring. You know, Aljo's got his own game. You know what I mean? He said it, like, even in the press conference, he goes, look, I'm a wrestler. You know, he just wants to strike enough to get what he wants. And that's the way he goes about it. Very intelligent guy. You could tell by talking to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he says, hey, you want to see the bangers at the gym. There's killers at the gym that they go to war, and it's like a pay-per-view every time. And he's right, you know, but he's got a totally different game. And when I'm talking to him, you know, I know him well enough now. I know what to say and what not to say and how to say it. Just try to go, maybe think about this, do this. And I think that's what you felt in there.
That's it. Don't. Yeah, exactly, man. Sometimes he's so comfortable that he's winging things, you know. We didn't want him staying on all fours too long, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. That was it.
Yeah, don't get on all fours, right.
Yeah, that was the only bad optics to me in the fight, is when he was on all fours. I go, one point I said, look, you did enough wrestling. Use the wrestling setup for your strikes. I thought he was piecing them up, standing up. The body kicks were good. He was jabbing them.
Hey, what
set the tone? Elbows, knees. Yeah.
Like I said earlier, what set the tone was him winning back that first round. That was telling of what's to come. He wasn't going to lay down for him. And, he's there, main event. He's getting paid either way. He could have took a round off. He's seen the guy's not doing damage on him. He started working his guard. Henry felt something he didn't like. The second he got up, he got on the clock. He just started working. I mean, you know, that's him. That's not us in there with him. So it's like he won back that first round, and that was awesome. That's someone with a little less fight IQ being, all right, now I'm back up. I can't get taken down again. He threw caution to the wind. He's always intelligent, but he started piecing him, and then he put him down to end that round. That got my blood boiling, man.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
And you guys must be – there's something about the coaching, too, I think that's so good, because you look at that tough loss Aljo took from that head kick to Moraes, whenever that was, and then you look at Marab's loss, that really hard loss to Ricky Simone. And then whatever happened after that, both of those guys just went on a tear after that. So it's always interesting to see what happens. How does a guy respond to a loss that could send somebody else into a spiral. And both of these guys, you have the top two bantamweights in the world in your gym. And both of those guys responded to those tough losses by just going out and beating the best fighters on the planet. That's got to say something about the coaching.
Oh, listen, first of all, I'll tell you definitely a couple of things, but I think those losses are what defines these guys now, the way they handled adversity and, you know, came back. It's like, it's not how hard you get hit. It's what you do after you get hit hard. You know, that cliche from probably a Rocky movie, but that's really the truth, man. And these guys both prove it. Marab, I've never seen a guy make adjustments after a loss like him. Never, ever in my life. He's right back because he's had a bunch of losses before that. Not a bunch, but every time he lost, he came back better. He corrected the problem why he lost. He is the definition of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Matt always had to say, you know, you need guys to hoist you up on your shoulders when you win, and you want to be a safety net when they lose. And I think those guys were surrounded by people that have been in that position before where they've had losses and come back. You know, Matt got stopped in his first fight, became a champion. I mean, so they're coming from a lineage of experience and knowledge like that. I think that's second to none. I mean, when you have people that you could bounce off, like you're feeling bad and you could talk to somebody who's been there, who's overcome it, it's got to mean something. So we just have a really small knit, tight knit team. And I think that's what you see. And I think even when guys lose, it doesn't mean anything to us. We get better when we move forward.
Speaking of that, speaking of, you know, our crew, it was really nice to see Chris Weidman again.
100%.
Hanging out. I seen his dad, Charlie, and his son, CJ, who I really was happy to see because he got big. I get emotional. He's so cute, that kid. I was so happy to see him, you know. They moved to Carolina, you know. He Uncle Matt and stuff. You know, he's such a cute kid. You see the kids grow. And we know Chris when he didn't have kids. I love seeing these guys with their kids for some reason. Him, Vellante. Like, you know what I mean, right? Longo, it's crazy.
No, without it, 100%. No, well, it was really – listen, I never thought we'd, like, you know, because of COVID and Aljo moved to Vegas, even though he still has a house here, Weidman's in Carolina. But we all went out to dinner, Jimmy. And, you know, I looked around, I go, you know what? I'm never getting this opportunity again. I always wanted a picture with those three guys holding their belts. But we were all at the same table. I go, you know, it just made it seem so much better.
Right.
That, you know, I got to even take that picture with these guys because, you know, they're just all three of them are superhuman beings and just great people. And they're all successful. And it's just I think as I'm getting older, it gets sentimental, but it was really a great thing. And then you had Alan Marad there, two of my favorite people, you know, outside of that. It was just, it was great, man. That was a great Weidman was awesome, man. It was great seeing him and just ball busting. And I'll tell you one funny story, Jimmy, you'll appreciate. So we went to a steakhouse.
Okay, good. You're telling it. Good. I was going
to
tell
it. Yeah. We went to a steakhouse, and I order a cowboy steak. You know, every so often you get that piece of meat with, like, some fat in it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to swallow. I chew it, and I throw it in my plate. You know, so that had to be, like, five or six pieces like that. They're laying in my plate, and the other pieces, obviously, I'm eating. And Weidman goes, hey, can I have a piece of your steak? I go, yeah, sure, take one.
Jimmy,
the guy starts eating the pieces I was chewing.
Jimmy,
I never saw Marab laugh so fucking hard. Marab could not stop laughing. And in between trying to catch a breath, he's like, I would have told him. I go, told him? That's the whole fucking joke, Marab. What are you kidding me? If I tell him.
Marab was crying.
Never saw him laugh that hard in his life.
Did you tell? By the way, and Weidman, this is not surprising, because this is the guy that picked the fucking mouthpiece up off the floor.
100%. No, he didn't.
You just told that
story. He didn't spit that steak out. He kept chewing it.
He didn't give a shit, right?
He didn't give a shit. And he might. I don't even care if he said he gave a shit. Trust me when I tell you, I know the guy.
He was laughing almost as much as Marab. He was funny.
Oh yeah.
That picture, by the way, I saw you guys. Both of you guys posted that picture, right? Of all of you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That was nice. That's one you blow up and put in the gym. That was a really nice shot of all you guys.
Without a doubt. What a great weekend, though, man.
Yeah.
You know, like Frivola starting it off. Once you get that momentum, it means a lot for the guy following you, too. Just like if he would have got knocked out, that could have been, you know, you start internalizing that, maybe. You know what I mean? But coming off a win like that, everybody knows Frivola and loves him. And just,
that,
wow,
this is that crazy fight. This was that fight for him to put him over the edge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Without
he's
doubt.
Beaten guys that were undefeated, guys that were dangerous, that were supposed to beat him, and he's knocked them out, and he's beaten these guys. And then, you know, to come here and beat Drew Dober that way, and Drew Dober's fresh off of beating Bobby Green.
First so round. I mean, a first-round knockout.
It's so good because you know what? There's not anybody you're not going to find anybody who doesn't like Matty. Matty, he's just a nice guy.
And, you know what I mean? And Drew Dober, too, man. Drew. Yeah.
Oh, he's great, Drew.
Just really, really nice guys, man. Almost, you know, sometimes I can be psycho in the octagon, but I did feel bad. I just really, they just seem like nice people, man. I just wish those guys the best moving forward. I know Drew will be back, but man, we really, really, really planned for him and respected him. I wanted to know that this fight, you know, obviously we couldn't take light at all, but we viewed him as probably one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous opponent that Matty faced.
Yeah.
I like that he got performance of the night, by the way, Matty.
Without a doubt.
Yes. Yeah. Him and also Jan Shonan. What a tremendous job knocking out Andrade in the first round, which is I did not see that coming at all.
I'm with you. That was a surprise. But, you know, Andrade does do the same thing. You could see what she did when she's running forward, swinging wild. That looks – she's done that in the past. So
yep.
Great game plan. I think Alpha Male – is doing unbelievable. I don't tell Raya or Danny Castillo, but they revived that team because they kind of got broken up with the Dillashaw thing, and then I think Garbrandt left maybe. Yeah. But they're doing a great job with the guys they have. You know, they have Young's, the other Chinese guy who looks fantastic.
Song Yadong.
Yeah, Song Yadong.
Yeah, he's great.
And you know, I think they're doing a great job over there. They really look like they revitalized that whole program.
And speaking of Song Yadong too, it's funny, as we're talking, I keep mentioning, I can't stop talking about how happy I am that Rob has so many great opportunities. I mean, O'Malley is going to fight Aljamain, but I mean, O'Malley's a guy he hasn't fought. He hasn't fought Corey Sandhagen. He hasn't fought Chito Vera. He hasn't fought Rob Font, Song Yadong, Cruz, Pedro Munoz. Like,
yeah.
There's so many fucking good fights for this guy. He has a long list of great opportunities ahead. So whatever happens with the belt, there's still fights for Merab that are great fights. So listen, man, congratulations to both of you guys. I was really, really happy for the team. And, you know, Matt Frivol looked tremendous, and I'm so happy they didn't screw.
Man, Jimmy, I would have died. That would have crushed.
It wouldn't have surprised me though, with the shit judging and some of the decisions that we've seen. Matt, this is what I was talking about with Bobby Green. Everybody thought I was crazy, but it's that type of thing where you're going into a fifth round and you know you fought well enough. Not that, you know, it's in the bag, but you know you're winning the fight clearly, and yet you're this close to getting fucked. Like, you literally have to go for a knockout in the fifth round, even if you feel like you might be up 4-1 or 3-1. Do you have to take chances you wouldn't normally take trying to knock a guy out because the judging has been so bad?
I remember feeling very confident. I remember just turning, hugging Longo, hugging the corner.
Yeah.
We did it. I remember, right? Yeah. I don't think there was ever even, what do you think they're going to say type of shit. We were like, he did it. That's how I felt. I was not even, when I heard split, I go, oh my God, I couldn't believe I was with Longo.
I'm trying to, I listened to Dominic Cruz and Brendan Schaub on the fight companion, and I thought that's what they alluded to, but then I think Dominic Cruz went into this thing where, you know, Henry might be that guy where he needs to be like lied to. And sure. I think Dominic Cruz hit it straight on the head, because even Brendan Schaub at the end was like, if they're telling that guy he's up, then that's not good. Like, it's just really not like, good.
Yeah, I really like that Santino, right?
Oh, Santino's a gem. He's a gem.
He's good. He's good. He's a good coach, and he's very realistic. And
yeah,
I believe he was saying, you know, I don't know. I gotta watch it, you know, but yeah. I'm sure he's saying good things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good point by Dominic Cruz too. Dominic Cruz is such a smart guy. He's a really smart analyst. He has such an analytical brain for not just what guys are doing in fights and anticipating what a guy needs to do to get out from underneath something or whatever, but for the fighter's psychology. So yeah, maybe that's right. Maybe he just is one of those guys that needs to hear that he's ahead.
Oh no. And Dominic, he keys in on a lot of good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like, even when Aljo was on all fours, he goes, look, this is brilliant by Aljo. He knows he's in no danger. Nothing can happen to him. And he's taking a break. And when the time is right, I mean, he was dead on with a bunch of stuff.
And really quick before we end, I know we got to end now. back to Crone Gracie really quick, so I had to tell that story because it was too good not to tell. But honestly, you know, that he is a very dangerous person. He has world-class jiu-jitsu. If you lock him in a room with someone else, he's the guy leaving. It might be an hour and a half, who knows? But the thing is this, my point is, it's all strategy. His strategy in his jiu-jitsu is meant to survive and then right. overcome. Back in the day, his father fought this guy Zulu, this fighter by the nickname Zulu. The guy was an athletic freak, and they fought for a while until eventually he slinked to his back and fucking submitted him. So it's more of a different mindset, like Lon Woods said. And it's not that it's good for survival. He's a jiu-jitsu master. He knows how to fight and defend himself and put people away. But when you have time restraints, this is more MMA is a game. It's a sport, even though it is a fight. So that style is going to be like hard to pull off unless you have like a Damian Maya who was just very good at those taking guys backs and submitting them. And he uses, you know, I mean, so he had very offensive jiu-jitsu off the floor. So I would recommend if he's not going to get his wrestling to where it needs to be, get more creative ways when you get to the floor. Sit to the leg lock, sit to an Ashigarami. You see guys like underneath John Danaher, like Gary Tonin, and even guys like Ryan Hall in the UFC have creative ways of getting in around those legs. And more likely than not, it's a way of just closing the distance, and they don't got to become phenomenal wrestlers to get it to their world and whatnot. So I don't know. I'm just going off on a rant, but I don't want the kid to be too depressed. It's more strategy than it is an ability.
Yeah.
He's shown that he can take a punch. He's shown he can give a punch. You know what I mean?
Go ahead, Longo. Well said. No, well said for sure. Okay.
All right, gang.
Yeah, it was great seeing you again, Ray. Congratulations.
Yeah, Jimbo, it's always a pleasure. I didn't even get to say how great it was to see you because I came in a little late, but always great to see you, buddy. You look great, sound great.
Thank you.
Hopefully you're doing great.
Yeah, life is good. Life is good. That's and I love seeing you guys walk out. I was laughing, too, because as you're walking out, they're playing music, and all I hear is Matt. I just hear Matt going again on the walkout, cursing. It's just so great to watch you guys.
Yeah,
We were roomies all weekend.
Yeah, Jimmy, it was really great catching up with Matt. Like 10 minutes before I got, I was like, I just was so done with him. I was like, just please get me out of the car. It was good, but Jimmy took it right to the end. He took
we
it
were
right
driving to
the
home.
I go, I got to get the fuck out of here, man.
I think I started singing right after over the Cross Island. He goes, all right, I had about enough. I had to be.
Yeah, even I understand.
I think he wanted to get jump out and get an Uber or something at that point.
I was contemplating that exact thought. I go, I don't know if I could make it. And we had five or 10 minutes to go. I don't think I could hold out any longer.
Yeah.
Great. Jimmy, you appreciate where I'm coming from, no?
Oh, yeah. You and I should have dinner. Yeah.
guys, I'm right here. All right, listen. All right, Longo, thanks, man. Thanks for hanging. Jimmy, anything else you want to plug?
No, just Wednesday. I'm doing Rogan's Club in July, Comedy Mothership. Oh, and this coming, thanks, Matt, the 19th, I'm in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The 20th, I'm doing a theater here in New Jersey, Montclair. And this Wednesday, Fat Black Pussycat. And Ray, you're always a delight. Anytime, please come back sooner.
I got to make one of your shows, too. I was going to go... with Matt the last time, but again, he had to take his shit for 3 days. So
yeah, I understand.
Show too. Like, again, back to his stomach.
I got sick. I think I got sick that day.
Jimmy's like, where's, it's like out of the Larry David. Where's Matt? Oh, Matt's taking his shit.
Yeah, Matt's on the toilet again. That's okay.
He missed the whole set.
You guys will come when you can. I'm always around.
Once again, I'm right here.
You're the best. Jimmy, thanks, buddy.
Anytime,
later,
pal.
Longo.
See you soon. Matt, see you Wednesday.
Bye, Jimmy.
See you later, man.
All right, bye, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.